John Zook with Winfield United, covering Southern Minnesota as an agronomist.
Jen, let's begin with some new data that you have, and it is in regard to tissue sampling. What are the findings?
So I think a lot of what we're seeing with the tissue sampling is getting the macros right with regards to the ratios in the plants is probably the most important thing. And then following that up with micros through in-season management, just because typically those are immobile in the soil as well as immobile in the plant.
Yeah, as farmers prioritize their macro and their micronutrients and they think about fertility management, I would imagine that with every growing season, we have a little bit more information, therefore giving us a better understanding of maximizing yield, which is the ultimate goal.
Yeah, so with a tissue sample, I mean, that gives us one perspective, but looking back at some of our soil samples and the trends, with the genetics, is looking at soil samples, maybe our fertility is trending down, but our yield is certainly trending up. So it might make you wonder of how that plant is actually getting nutrients in its tissue. Our tissue shows that in some cases is trending actually up. So now what is the cost that plant has to inquire to get nutrients from soil that maybe doesn't seem to be as fertile as it once was? Now on the 10-year trend, that's maybe long scheme, but as of recent, now we're learning about how can we manage those nutrients in the plant to become more efficient. And what we know is maybe adding nitrogen when you're nitrogen deficient doesn't always fix the nitrogen deficiency. You might be nitrogen deficient because you don't have enough potassium to bring nitrogen into the plant. So I think those are some of the examples of things that we're learning with some of the new data coming out.
So as far as the information farmers really need to make these informed decisions, the tissue sample on the plant, the soil sample, and then really trying to mesh those together, as you pointed out, to get the best grasp possible before you start making those input decisions for next year.
Yes, so I think both types of samples, the soil sample and the tissue sample, require multiple time points because we're looking at them for trends. So with the soil sample, I mean, I like to have minimum every 4 years have our soil sample done. Some guys have been switching to every 2 years just to get more data points to assess the trend, especially if now is the time to start cutting back or dial in to make the decision the better. Same thing with tissue sampling. What I like to see is not just one tissue sample per season, but if you can look at the field and you can pick out 2-3 areas or yield zones within that field and take on corn, maybe take a V5 and then a V9 and a VT tissue sample as far as timing, it's going to give you a few data points on that graph to make an idea of what the trend might look to help make a better decision of, maybe what you did or didn't do and then translate that into a different approach for the next crop season.
The data that you have from 2018, John, it covers Minnesota, and I'm sure there's a lot of data. So if you were to prioritize, you're talking about trends and looking at some of them, which trends are the most significant, and what are some of the numbers here that you want to share with our listeners?
Yeah, so there's a lot of data, and to simplify it, I think the biggest thing is identifying which nutrients are critical at specific time points. So with that, our macronutrients, NPK, and then our secondary micro sulfur are probably the most important to pay attention to. And if you're taking a tissue sample through NutriSolutions 360, the report that you get back will help guide you through which one you need based on the deficiency. So I could get really complicated in the message and talk about nutrient ratios, but that tissue sample really truly helps guide based on our data, based on the trends of what decisions you might make. And then on the micronutrient side, for corn, I think the two that we need to really consider based on what we're seeing is zinc and boron. And zinc would be more so critical at that V5 to, say, V10 time frame, where boron would probably be most critical at that right after tasseling into the early reproductive stages. So I guess that would be the simple way of looking at it. And again, the tissue sample report does a really good job guiding through of which ones are the most important to take into account for that specific growth stage.
Do farmers need to concern themselves that much on the soybean side with some of these macro and micronutrients, certainly to a degree, John, I'm sure they do, but you talked about corn and we see more of those inputs going towards corn, but what about for soybeans?
Yeah, so soybeans, I think there is a fairly large concern. We're still gathering information and learning a lot. The trends point to some of the macros playing important, probably more priority to the micros in soybeans. Managing nitrogen deficiency and phosphorus in soybeans has proven to be critical too for yield. One of the micronutrients that I'm seeing showing up all over the board, and that really comes important as we switch to reproductive mode in soybeans, would be manganese. And that's because manganese does really two things in the soybean plant. Number one, it's important for photosynthesis, as are a lot of the nutrients. But the other thing is manganese is kind of the signaling nutrient for telling that soybean plant to upregulate or coax the nitrogen-fixing bacteria, the rhizobia, to start fixing more nitrogen and supplying it to the soybean plant. So if you don't have manganese, you start going deficient in some of the other macronutrients as well. So that's probably a key micronutrient if you were going to start managing soybeans in season.
What a fascinating science. I think about a human's diet regimen, and we continue to gather more information about what's good for us and what's not. And we're seeing the same thing here with plants, where you can feed them at the right time, and it's the right combination of nutrients. And to think that there was a time when farmers were really just ballparking and guessing out there, John, they don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah, so we're always learning, and with learning always comes more questions, but you're right, is we are starting to maybe connect some of these relationships of what nutrients are doing in the plant to their time point, and then how they connect to one another as well. So yeah, we are hopefully working on dialing it in to optimize the performance of those nutrients across the acre.
John, let's now kind of just recap 2018 and just a really challenging year for so many growers in Minnesota because of wet, cold weather early. It got extremely hot in May and June, but again, it was wet most of the year, and then at the worst time this fall. So how did you see that impacting things throughout the last, 6-8 months?
Yeah, so the weather really played into our yield and our performance this year. Good news is we definitely had enough heat to make up for some of the other moisture conditions that we were dealing with. So a lot of our hybrids were able to finish out, but it was really patchy across the state as far as moisture. There's places where we had some moderate drought even, and then a lot of places where we had just way too much rain. As far as impact goes, I mean, anywhere from 20, 50, 60 bushel impact on corn, to all the way drown out spots, I mean, a lot of soybeans, that sort of thing. So that really hurt field averages. But I think the more significant thing was this fall, just trying to get in and out of the field, and then also fertilizer practices. So I'm thinking ahead into 2019 of how are we going to manage maybe some of the compaction issues that we are going to have to deal with. We got a soil profile now that's pretty full. How are we going to manage that as the soil starts to thaw in the spring, given we have quite a bit of work left to do out there? So we know here in Minnesota we're always crunched for spring and fall, just trying to get the crop in and take it out. So we don't really have the luxury of really waiting around very long before we start losing yield because it's either still in the bag or still not in the bin, one way or the other. So I think the challenge there is to try to be a little patient and make sure that we're using the right gut feeling to know when to cross that acre so we don't have to have a repeat of what we had in 2018.
Yeah, and an early and long window next spring is really going to be critical, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, hey, if everything shapes up in March and we have enough time to make that soil fit and make it right, I mean, we get a lot of the sins here that were committed this fall, rightfully, because we got to get the crop out, might be forgiven based on what the spring weather can give us.
Anything else you want to make sure we cover about this past growing season, John?
Yeah, so I think some of the biggest things from this past growing season that we learned were, again, going back to nutrient management, of having a plan in place and then encompassing your entire plan around, that practice. So choosing the right hybrid and managing that hybrid for what it was built for. There's a lot of hybrids that are given scores. For example, response to nitrogen, response to fungicide, response to rotation, corn on corn, soil types. So in 2018, we learned that, heck, you could have weathered a lot of what was thrown at us if you had those plans and those criteria already in place, made it a lot easier to manage the acre. So in 2019, what I challenge guys is trying to sit down and put together a plan, because that's going to make you a lot more efficient going forward. The other thing that I would add is, you know, you're kind of dealt with a Mother Nature year as far as weather goes, but insects, diseases were fairly minimal. So I don't know what to expect for 2019, but what I do know is our culture and climate is always changing. So being prepared again with a plan is going to help us get through that.